You are listening to a summary of Entrepreneurship at a Glance 2014, a report by OECD.
Entrepreneurs who dare to venture into the unknown are exemplars of human ingenuity. Their entrepreneurship forms the golden goose of economic activity and proves an indelible marker of sophisticated capitalism. And yet, hard data on the impact of entrepreneurship are in short supply. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, stepped into this breach by aggregating some 20 indicators from 30 industrialized countries on the health of the economic and operational state of these nations' entrepreneurial ventures. The rigidly structured report falls short of sweeping insight, but it provides stoic reportage that preserves the statistics' analytical significance. Get Abstract recommends this data-centric report to policymakers, analysts, economists, and students looking for cross-country gauges that can help provide a greater understanding of entrepreneurship around the world. Global enterprise.
Positive economic activity hinges on the continual exercise of entrepreneurship, a blanket term for any undertaking involving new products, processes, and marketing to create value. Although profit is a common incentive for many new businesses, other firms measure success in terms of sociological or environmental targets, depending on the ultimate purpose of the organization. The OECD has established certain indicators that provide a holistic view of the factors influencing and resulting from entrepreneurial activity. Some indicators prove markedly equal in how researchers collected data across countries, while huge discrepancies exist in others. Quantifying the intersection of broad ideas like culture and free enterprise is inherently difficult and points up the challenge of drawing insight from any single marker by itself. Rather, the indicators become toolkits for further analysis.
Recent developments in entrepreneurship.
Fallout from the global financial crisis remains responsible for huge setbacks in entrepreneurship. Aside from those in Portugal, a generation of new enterprises cratered after 2007. Fewer and fewer people started businesses, as credit flows slowed to a drip. Yet today, encouraging signs emerge. Australia, the United Kingdom, Portugal, and Norway show upward momentum, having already surpassed their pre-crisis levels. France experienced the most significant jump in startups between 2009 and 2010. Analysts widely acknowledge that this growth is due to the French government's implementation of a new business classification, devised to mitigate the costs of entrepreneurship and ease barriers to opening new firms. At the other end of the business cycle is bankruptcy. The term is ubiquitous, yet its legal definition varies from country to country. Sometimes insolvency is just the first step in a comeback story, a cleaning of the slate before corporate restructuring. Other nations assign resolution power to creditors, making bankruptcy a failure in the stricter sense of the word. The disparities among national bankruptcy laws warrant an analysis of the related indicators on a country-specific, not comparative, basis. All OECD countries except Denmark, Canada, Japan, and South Africa experience more bankruptcies today than they did in 2007. Contractual employment bolstered labor markets in Australia, South Korea, Japan, and the US for much of the period after the crisis. One unwanted side effect of that trend is a decrease in the number of people identifying themselves as self-employed, an indicator that usually points to a weak entrepreneurial environment. A notable standout is Mexico's swelling job market. Self-employment levels in Mexico were almost 15 points higher in 2012. Marking a consistent climb since late 2008. Predictably, in the aftermath of the crisis, venture capital became a scarce resource. Europe's entrepreneurs still face a dearth of financing options, although seed funding remains stronger than later-stage funding. American investors recovered faster.
Structural and performance indicators.
These performance indicators offer insight into economic patterns. 1. Enterprises by size. Microenterprises, organizations with fewer than 10 employees, account for approximately 90% of all businesses in half of OECD countries. That proportion tends to drop for nations with larger economies or in countries where the chief industries are commodity-based. Extracting natural resources requires relatively high upfront costs, which is why a majority of startups are in other sectors, primarily service industries. 2. Employment by enterprise size. Businesses with fewer than 10 workers deliver 45% of all jobs in Portugal, Spain, Italy, and Greece. Microenterprise employment accounts for less than 20% of jobs in Russia, the US, and Switzerland. 3. Productivity and value added by enterprise size. Economies of scale are a frequent explanation for why some companies succeed when others fail. Large enterprises are, on average, more productive than their smaller counterparts, but that is not always the case. In some industries, medium-sized companies can find a market niche that makes them supremely efficient. 4. Exports by enterprise size. Size is a strong determinant of a company's ability to sell goods and services internationally. More than half of all exports from most OECD countries sprang from firms with more than 250 employees.
Surviving the market.
In capitalist societies, the appetite for conceiving new ventures is the root of all economic output. Many entrenched organizations would remain stagnant and unimaginative without the disruption caused by entrepreneurship. However, as with any undertaking that is designed to create, invent, or establish something new, entrepreneurship carries a certain level of risk. When calculating the birth rate of new enterprises, only new businesses with one or more workers prove statistically meaningful. When a previously registered company, one that formed with only the founder as its staff, adds an employee, it then counts in the tally of new enterprises. Shell corporations are useful for tax minimization and business strategy, but they do not denote the formation of real value. The rates of business creation fell and stayed depressed in the wake of the financial crisis, but growth has picked up in many countries since 2011. New undertakings in construction and service-based industries are more volatile than those in manufacturing. The relative ease of entry into those markets leads to higher birth rates, death rates, and churn rates for startups. The decline of enterprise birth rates from 2007 to 2010 matched an upswing in how many businesses, particularly those with four or fewer employees, closed their doors. Also, national statistics can obfuscate how uneven entrepreneurship can be within a nation. The birth rate for micro firms in Denmark, for instance, is 7% higher in some regions than in others.
Employment and new firms.
The extent to which entrepreneurial projects produce real jobs varies across countries. While entrepreneurship is a boon to a nation's economy, the different manifestations of enterprise creation vary in their contribution to employment. 1. Job creation through new ventures. Analysts calculate startups' contribution to employment by dividing the number of jobs added in the relevant time period by the total private labor force. Although recently initiated ventures account for 5% to 12% of all jobs, most of the employment they create derives from the inception of new businesses, not their subsequent hiring, suggesting that an increase in enterprise births leads to much more employment. 2. Job destruction through enterprise deaths. An increase in the number of businesses closing triggers drastic job losses. 3. Age matters more than size. Surprisingly, the length of time since a company's birth is a much stronger determinant of its contribution to employment than the company's actual size. 4. Varying impacts across countries. With respect to the entry and exit of new employers, manufacturing and services are generally less elastic than construction. The data corroborate earlier assertions that the construction industry is particularly sensitive to external changes. 5. Lasting employment. In 2011, 1- and 2-year-old enterprises in Belgium, Sweden, Finland, the Netherlands, Denmark, Bulgaria and the Slovak Republic had no share in their respective countries' job creation. Analysts calculate this indicator by counting the number of individuals working at startups that survived their first and second years of incorporation. This means that all new small employers in these nations perished soon after inception. 6. Medium growth enterprises. These are businesses with 10 or more employees that increase their workforces at an annualized rate of between 10% and 20% in three consecutive years. New Zealand and Brazil are the only nations with 2012 rates that compare to their 2008 showing. 7. High growth enterprises. These companies disproportionately affect job creation, so their failures in recent years present serious impediments to economic expansion. As with medium growth enterprises, high growth firms have 10 or more employees, but they also have annualized growth rates of between 20% and 30%. A glaring exception is France, where 15,000 fast-growing companies employed 2.5 million people in 2012 alone. The service industry generally produces more high-growth enterprises than the manufacturing or construction sectors, with the exception of Latvia, Brazil, and New Zealand. 8. Gazelles. The high-growth firms in this subset are younger than 5 years old and usually make up only 1% of total employment. Brazil far exceeds its peers in terms of gazelles as a percentage of all firms with 10 or more employees. 9. Young medium growth enterprises. This indicator measures the proportion of medium growth enterprises with 10 plus employees in relation to their nation's respective populations. Since 2008, Luxembourg, Estonia, Portugal, and Israel have all shown significant growth in this area.
Innovation.
The traditional understanding of innovation as a technological leap forward is limited in its scope. True innovation can also be a drastic improvement in a company's production process, marketing strategy, or organizational structure. Larger companies have greater control over their supply chains, design, and distribution, so they can simultaneously explore these frontiers of innovation. Small to medium-sized enterprises, SMEs, take a more fragmented approach by either revolutionizing their product experience and its development process, or by experimenting with marketing and organizational tactics. Regardless, the risk of creating something with no prior evidence of customer approval proves a daunting task for any company. Collaboration is one way companies can overcome barriers to innovation. People who come together in a firm can achieve more than the sum of their individual outputs, and the same holds true for companies. Between 25% to 40% of SMEs work with corporate partners. This is a moderate level of collaboration, considering that these percentages double for larger companies. The availability of government subsidies for research and development depends greatly on the size of the company and its country of origin. More than 85% of state support in Estonia, the Slovak Republic, and Hungary goes to SMEs. By contrast, in the US, Japan, Sweden, and Luxembourg, large companies receive 80% of public R&D support.
The origins of entrepreneurship.
Whether an entrepreneur sets up a new business depends greatly on how arduous the process is likely to be. It is generally easier to register a sole proprietorship than a corporation, which has greater legal complexity. Most jurisdictions tax corporations at a separate rate and provide owners with limited liability. Intuitively, someone is less likely to build a startup company if the regulatory environment is unfriendly or the opportunity costs are too high. New entrepreneurs face many indirect expenses, often including loss of employer health insurance and a steady income. Conversely, poor working conditions sometimes prove a catalyst for someone to create a novel enterprise. Entrepreneurs cite two factors above all others in deciding whether to launch a venture: a workable business idea and the ability to secure necessary funding. The lack of sophisticated markets for venture capital is a serious issue in all OECD countries except the US and Israel. With funding options far less plentiful than before the economic crisis, entrepreneurs around the world must fight even harder for survival. They must justify their frugality with tight hiring budgets and exponential growth. Many of them will see their ventures fail, but the few who make it will inevitably power the economies of tomorrow.